Brilliant. Okay. I've got kind of three things to hit today, so let's see. To warn you, hopefully I'm going to hit all three. We'll see. I just felt like a good lay of the heart, something slightly different than thing. I don't think I've ever said before.
I know.
Yeah, I know.
Maybe there's a reason.
Yeah, maybe. Well, it is a thought that crossed my mind. There's a reason why I've never said it before. But we're going to go there. That'll be point number one. So today is we're continuing these tools for discipleship, and today is talking about reaching out. If you remember, last week Ben spoke to us about the square. There you are. There's a square. And talking about how we disciple people, what it means for us to be on a journey of discipleship and to think about it as a process, and therefore to recognise where we are in the process to help us to keep moving forward. I thought that was good. I liked it. Today, so when we're putting together these tools, we've done things like coins and circles and semicircles. You remembering these, aren't you? What else have we done?
Triangle.
Thank you very much. Triangles and squares. It gave me, the semicircle was actually a pendulum. I don't think, I don't think I actually said it, but that's what it was. We'll go back to it. But today, what it meant in the mix was an opportunity for me to resurrect. This isn't the bit I've never said before, you see. To resurrect something that I talked about very early on when we started as a church. And that is the spiral. And I go, oh look, we've got shapes. Oh, I did a shape. Well, it's not really a shape, is it? But it's kind of a shape. It's a spiral. And the purpose of this spiral is to capture really two key aspects of the mission of Jesus and therefore our mission. Two kind of key aspects. I'm really caught up. If we go really big picture, what was Jesus about? Well, he was about reaching in love to his world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Reaching in love to a world. And then including, drawing people into his life, into his kingdom, into his family. So that's pretty broad brushstrokes of two components of Jesus' mission, of God's mission in Jesus. Reaching, on the one hand, and including. And it's interesting that actually the two things aren't totally linked. You don't reach it only to include, if you understand what I mean. Actually, Jesus reached in love and loved people just because he loved them. Do you think? I mean, we had this really... I don't know if you ever had a conversation with someone. I have. Why did Jesus heal people? And you get very convoluted theological answers to that question. Well, it's to demonstrate the inbreaking of the kingdom of God. It's to demonstrate the defeat of the enemy. And do you know what I mean? Really kind of deep theological questions. And I remember one particular guy called Vic Gledhill. He said, why did Jesus heal people? He said, because they were sick. Okay, yeah, that's fairly... that's right, that's obvious, isn't it? Yes, he healed people because they were sick and he loved them. And so he did something about it. No agendas. Oh, we know people that Jesus healed people without them actually really ending up following him. That's true, isn't it? We read that in the New Testament. Jesus didn't then go, oh, I'll take that back then. He still blessed and loved people. So the reaching in love and the including, although they're related, are actually still a little bit distinct. And we end up doing strange things if we only reach in love in order to include people. So we should separate them. So this idea of reaching and including are two components captured in the spiral and the arrows of two elements of Jesus' mission, and therefore I think really helpful when we think about who we should be. Right down into all through the layers to my life, what should I be like? Actually, I can embody Jesus' mission as well by love reaching people and including people. Does that make sense? Are you with me so far? There's that brilliant bit, isn't there? We read through Luke, just go back on the including thing, that Jesus was constantly drawing people in, and at the start of Luke 15, just before he goes to talk about three lost things, he talks about a lost, anyone know? Sheep, that's the second one, lost sheep, yeah. Lost coin, and a lost son. Thank you, Reuben. You're on it. Three lost things. So just before Jesus goes into telling three really brilliant stories about lost things, it intros with verse 1 and 2 in Luke 15 saying the Pharisees were grumbling because Jesus was welcomed tax collectors and sinners. Jesus got in big trouble for embracing and drawing in the kind of people that shouldn't have been drawn in. And that we find that story repeated through Luke, the Gospel of Luke in particular. It's really emphasised and clear. And I don't know if you remember, we looked at Zacchaeus a little while back, and that just that bit that Jesus says at the end of Zacchaeus' story, when Zacchaeus repents and he gives all this money to people that he conned, and Jesus says, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost." Seek and to save the lost. Call to whom, what he came to do. I remember, I don't know if I told this story before, but I remember when Jack first got glasses. He had a period when he had glasses, probably age 6 or something. He got and then got them again a couple of years ago. But he had a period age 6 where he had his glasses. And he started wearing glasses, and then occasionally you'd find him not wearing his glasses. And we'd say to him, "Jack, where are your glasses?" And he'd go, "Oh, they're lost." Like that was, you know, that, there's no reason to find them. It's just a description of their state. They're lost, and therefore they're gone. You know, they're out of sight, out of mind. "Where are your glasses?" "Oh, they're lost." "Well, don't you think that should mean that you go and find them in some way?" "Oh, that's interesting." He was sick. Actually, it's a good thing. We should shame him a little bit. It's a birthday treat. Yeah, they're lost. You know, that's their new state of being in the world. They're lost. Now, roll on 10 years. I remember one particular morning where Jack had lost his phone.
Ooh.
Now, that was a whole deadly different matter. This was not, "Where's your phone?" "Oh, it's lost." No, this was, "This phone will be found. Asher, why aren't you looking? Reuben, why aren't you looking? Mum, Dad, why is everyone not rushing around the house, pulling apart every cupboard, every drawer, you know, throwing things everywhere? It must be here somewhere." I wonder when Jesus was thinking about something is lost, which one of those two he's like. I wonder if there's lost people in the world. Ah, they're lost. Their state. Is he? They're lost! Isn't that the story of the lost coin? Ah! Boom, 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 boom! Cupboards! Drawers! Cupboards! That's what he's doing. Why? Because lostness is not a state that is okay. That's a bad thing. And actually, lostness needs to be reversed by being found. And Jesus loves to find people. Is that true? So in reaching out, we know this is part of, so when we talk about discipleship, we know this is really core, that this isn't a side issue. That's why we talked about the coin, didn't we? We said heads and tails, heads following Jesus, tails, fishes of men, follow and fish, heads and tails, follow and fish, mix that up, find an answer. Why? Because actually the call is says that right at the heart. It's not a secondary thing. You don't follow Jesus and then go, "What we're going to do?" It's right at the heart. It's to follow and fish. They come together. Finding people and following Jesus, two sides of the same coin. So we've talked about that in our discipleship. It's not an optional thing. It's who we are as disciples. And then Maddie did the triangle, which Carol just remembered, which is up, in, out. Yeah. Isn't it? The triangle. Yeah. And that, the idea of that is, actually there's a balance to our relationships, that we should have good relationships with God. And really invest in that relationship and know him as a father. And in relationship, knowing, having good relationships together in our families and in our church family and spending good quality time, having depth of relationship, we need that. And also having relationship without. Not without, but without. That's part of it. And we need a plan. And if we don't actually have a plan like the triangle gives us, we end up not doing one of those things. But we need balance. So God calls us to this. I know, in some ways, I don't need to say that. You know that, but I'm just reiterating it. This morning, I want to think a little bit about what it means to reach out. And it seems to me that there are four levels of reaching out. There is reaching out what's to hand. When you reach out to get something, there are things that are to hand. You're at your desk and the pen is just there. You're there, you're sitting next to someone, you can reach out and shake their hand. And it seems to me that the first level, the most basic level of reaching out for us in our mission to follow and fish and to reach out to those who are lost is those who are to hand. Those that we're already going to bump into. Our neighbours, our work colleagues, people we meet down the shop and bump into. Do you know what I mean? It's the things that we don't even have to go out of our way to do. There are people that we bump into like that. And I've got a little thing in there that is, in terms of reaching out to those people, it's easy. There's no great, there is an effort, but you know what I mean? It's they're there, it's to hand. And it's quick. It doesn't take great planning, you're going to bump into them anyway. So that's level number one. Level number two is arm's length. And that's where you've got to reach a little bit further. You've got to make an effort to go somewhere. And really what I mean by that is something like us deciding to do something in Eastfield. Not all of us live in Eastfield, but we've decided to reach into Eastfield. It's not like we're going to move house or anything. We've just got to go there. I mean, we wouldn't normally go there, but we're going to decide to. And we're going to go and give away flowers, or we're going to be there. So that's, you see, that's a little bit further out and takes a little bit more effort, and maybe a little bit more planning. What did I suggest? Maybe weeks planning, that kind of idea. Days, or even hours, minutes, and weeks. So that's those people who are to hand, and those people who are arm's length. And then we've got, third one is beyond. And beyond is, I guess we might say, Andrew and Carol moving to Leeds in order to reach out there. Ben and Ollie are going to Devon. I think I'd rather go to Devon than Leeds. So I bless Andrew and Carol. By the way, they had their baby. Did we ever say that? They had the baby. We didn't say that. Andrew and Carol, everybody, have had the baby. It's a little boy called Isaac. Isaac Benjamin. Oh, I thought I got the name wrong then. Isaac Benjamin Cook. They decided to keep the same surname.
I wonder why.
That's strange. But anyway, so that's reaching beyond, isn't it? Where we go, right, we've got to go to a new city. Or maybe, we've got to go to a new city in order to reach out. That's something that's beyond. What I am saying, by the way, is that God is calling us to all of these things. Maybe not individually right now, but as a people of God. And this is a new one, you see, I've added in. This is the new thing I've never said. Because there's something else. There is the ends of the earth. The extreme beyond. It's true. So, we've read that, haven't we? We've focused on discipleship. And we've read Matthew 28, 18 and 19. And it says, go and make disciples of... You fill in the blank. All nations. Jesus had in mind when he invested in 12 people, not just that they would multiply as we've looked at, but actually that they would reach the ends of the earth. Isn't that incredible? It just struck me again when I was looking at this week, that Jesus had in mind that the gospel of Jesus would go everywhere. And even in Matthew, somewhere else, it says, the gospel will be preached to all nations, and then the end will come. That's interesting, isn't it? And you can imagine people who are missiologists hold on to that verse very, very strongly and say, look, we have got to see this gospel go everywhere because there is no end that will come before that happens. It is possible, isn't it? We look, and I was talking to a guy called Len Barlotta, who was a missionary in Pakistan. Just a couple of weeks ago, and over lunch he preached at me for 45 minutes about this. Maybe that's why it's in the forefront of my mind. But he's going, the missiologists take that really extreme, and they go, right, we need to count the nations, and we need to decide whether they're reached. because we want to see the end come. And it won't happen until we've done this. So we have a task to do, to reach nations, all the nations of the earth. Do you like the spinning world, by the way? What does it give you? Made you dizzy. Look at this. Practicing Christians as a percentage of the world population. Let me go get my figures. Where are they? It took 18 centuries for the number of believers to grow from 0% to 2.5% in 1900. And then it took only 70 years to go from 2.5% to 5% in 1970. And then just 30 years to go from 5% to 11.2%. And then, to where we are now. So, in terms of the world population right now, 1 in 7 people are part of a Bible-reading, Bible-believing stream of Christianity. 1 in 7. And that took 2,000 years. Isn't that incredible? And what you would expect, which is exponential growth. The curve starts going up. In China, they went from 1 million believers to 80 million believers in less than 30 years. Amazing! Praise God! Come on, this is a gospel that is bearing fruit and growing, it says in Colossians, and that's exactly what is happening. World mission started, as we know, by a guy very near to here, don't we? A guy called William Carey. In late 1700s, and he set up the first missionary society, and he wrote a wonderful book called Obligations. That's a short version. I can't remember the full title exactly. It's something like Obligations of Christians to Reach the Heathen. It's longer than that, even. They weren't into snappy titles back then. They liked long titles. And what he was saying was, look, okay, the British Empire is going all over the world. They're risking their lives going to China and India. And he's basically saying this, shouldn't we as Christians be as bothered about people as those traders are for a quick buck? That was his point. And therefore we have an obligation to go. So he set up a missionary society to do that. And it started just here in Malta, the epicentre of the world, here in Malta. And he had this wonderful phrase that is well quoted, which is brilliant, which is, expect great things from God, attempt great things for God. And he lived that. And he went to India himself and had an amazing impact, which we won't go into now. So not only then do we see this amazing 1 in 7 people and the huge growth, the number of people in what used to be the mission fields, which is what Jim Carrey, I'm thinking of something like that. Stop me. William Carey, he saw the mission fields, which is these heathen countries, as he called them. The number of people in what used to be the mission fields now surpasses, the number of believers in what used to be mission fields, now surpasses the number of believers in the countries from where they sent the missionaries. So there's more out there than there is here.
But just then I used to work with a chap from India. And he was kind of a Christian, born again Christian, he was kind of blessed by, he knew about Carey and recognised Carey. And that, so there's a lot more honour in places like India and other places than there would be in this country.
Interesting. Now, and even more so now more missionaries are sent from non-Western countries than from the traditional mission bases. Of the top 10 sending countries in 2010, 3 were in the global south. South Korea isn't in the global south, is it? I don't know. But anyway, these are within the 3 top countries. Brazil, South Korea and India. Other notable missionary senders are South Africa, the Philippines, Mexico, China, Colombia and Nigeria. These are the places where people like William Carey went out. And now the gospel has become so ingrained in that culture, and the church is so thriving that they're going right our turn. And we should be going, it should still our turn. But I was talking to an Indian guy a couple of weeks ago. He's in Kohinoor, I think, in the south of India, and they, as a church, are looking to send a missionary into Vietnam. And he was talking about that. I was challenged. All nations, Matthew 28:18, nations doesn't mean actually nation states. It doesn't mean England and Scotland. It means ethne, that's the word in Greek, and it means ethnic groups, social groups. And what they mean by that is the largest group within which the gospel can be spread as a church planting movement without encountering barriers of understanding or acceptance. So, and that actually, those groups aren't actually contained within national borders. You look at some, we hear of things like Iraq, don't we? And we know that there are lots of different groups within Iraq. That's why it's so difficult. For example, in Nepal, I'll choose Nepal because we've heard about it recently, is comprised of 341 people groups, and there's 28 million people in the country. Out of those, 332 are considered unreached. And even though we heard amazing stories, didn't we, of the growth of the gospel in Nepal from my dad, 99.5% of Nepalese have never heard the gospel. So the missionaries say that, so people count this stuff. They go, right, if we're trying to reach all people groups, Matthew 28, in order for the end of them to come, they'll count the people groups. So and you can count them in all sorts of ways, but let me use these figures just to give us an idea. They reckon there's over 16,000 people groups in the world. That's a lot more than nations, isn't it? 6,500 of those are not reached. And that which means that they don't have any significant Christian believers in the country. And 3,000 are completely unengaged, i.e. they've never heard anything about Jesus at all. 95% of those are in what's called the 10-40 window. That means 10 degrees north, 10 degrees south. It's kind of, you know, the lines on the globe or whatever. And actually, 95% of unreached people groups are in that window. Which, as you can see, there's lots in there. There's analysis of religions and all that, but there are lots of Muslim nations within that. Here's another map of this, which might not be clear, but the colours there are, the hashing is whether they're more than 80% Muslim, and the colours is how many Christians there are in the country. What you won't see there, interestingly, since I mentioned Nepal, you won't see Nepal. Nepal is, Nepal is down there. Oh, I can't hold it straight. Nepal is there, and it's sunk down because India's actually got 4,000 to 8,000 believers, and Nepal has got much less. So the graph is, you know, raised up on one. So Nepal's even hidden. It offended me. Nepal is even hidden on the graph completely. I think we need visibility of this. I know it's not great. It might not be an immediate implication for us today, but I think we should pray about this. I think we should. Jesus said, go to all nations, and what we're saying is that all the people groups, all the ethne, and what we're saying is there's 6,500 ethne that are not engaged with Christianity at all. And I think we should be bothered about that. It's the reaching out, but it's reaching out extreme beyond to the ends of the earth. Now, there's more we could say about that, but I'm going to move on. Yeah. I won't do all three. It's actually why many missionary-minded people are really delighted that we have lots of immigrants in this country. Because many of the immigrants are from countries like this. In fact, I was talking to a guy, in fact, the guy who leads the Leeds Church that Cooks are in, they just this week had a Chinese student in an Alpha course they're running, who is a member of the Communist Party in China, and she got saved this week. She said, I've been searching for God, I just needed someone to tell me. They're delighted that this lady from China, in the Communist Party, where she would have had no access, unlikely to encounter the gospel at all, she comes here to study, and they're there ready. Bang. Guess what's going to happen? And she goes back. That's exciting, isn't it? I think we might need to be a little more excited about some of these people coming to us. It makes the task at arm's length rather than extreme beyond. Do you understand what I'm saying? And lots of people, we've heard a little bit of Derby, who are seeing Iranians, I think. What was the number? 70, 80 Iranians baptised in the last 18 months in Derby, in the Derby church. You go, that's incredible, that's amazing, because otherwise we'd have to learn Farsi, we'd have to relocate our homes, you know what the missionaries used to do, pack all their belongings into the coffin, get on a boat, the coffin, because they know they're not coming back, and they go off to reach these countries like China or whatever. We don't have that anymore. These people are coming to us. Amazing what God is able to do in the midst of all that. So I've said that we've talked about reaching out, and I've talked about, we're supposed to be doing discipleship, and I'm talking about extreme mission. I don't know whether that's okay with you, but I'm saying that we should reach out, and that there are four levels of reaching out, and there is what's to hand, and there's what's to arm's length, and there's the going beyond, and then there is this. And actually, as Christians, as our call as disciples to go to all nations, somehow we should have it in our heart. We should have it in our heart that the nations should be reached with the gospel of God. It's what Jesus intended. It's what he kicked off. And it might not mean that we go, but maybe we could pray. Maybe we could pray. In fact, should we just do that now? Is that okay?
Mark, this weekend from FISH, the Friendship for International Students at the University, between 30 and 40 of them have been a weekend away. So actually they'll be coming back today. So actually if you could just go and pray that the fellowship that they had and the Christians who were with them see the gospel will actually bear fruit in the coming years in their life. Because there's definitely more in the world, the Chinese, the Iranians, the war on their part.
Okay. Well, let's just pray now. Let's just pray. Jesus, I thank you that your gospel, you intended your gospel, the good news of Jesus, to go to all nations. And I thank you that it really has in an amazing way. I thank you that it's amazing that what started with one man and 12 disciples has turned into, that it should be the case now that one in seven people in this world are part of a church that is Bible believing and Bible receiving. And we thank you so much for that reality. It's incredible. And Lord, I thank you that you haven't finished yet. And it is your intention that every nation, every people group, every ethno in this world will hear your gospel. And I want to pray that that will continue. I bless missionary efforts across the world. Lord, thank you for people who have in the past risked their lives to go to these places and cost and paid with their lives. And for the people who are doing that even today. And I bless them in the name of Jesus. I thank you for them. I thank you for their heroism, for your gospel, Lord, and the way that they're not willing to settle and just kind of take as it is, but caught hold of the drive of your gospel that is constantly pushing them out across the world. And I am challenged by that, and I thank you so much for them. I pray for fruitfulness for their work, Lord. You know who they are. I want to pray particularly for Nepal, since we've heard about it, Lord. Actually, really lots of unreached ethne in Nepal. I want to pray that your gospel would reach people in Nepal. I want to pray that the people who are there, the Christians who are there, the wonderfully faithful people that we saw pictures of just a couple of weeks ago, I want to pray you bless them. I want to pray that you'd reinforce their faith, Lord. I want to pray that you'd cause them to be people who follow and fish, Lord, and that their dedication to you would be rewarded with fruitfulness. Thank you, Lord. We bless them in the name of Jesus. We bless them. Lord, would you cause your gospel to reach every ethne in this world? In Jesus' name. Amen.
But I was someone who lives at the same time in Ukraine,
Lord, that blessed to see it. We thank those people there that there would be a Bible believing church established, a spiritual church established there. Lord, that that would be a point of revival and growth in your kingdom, bringing hope to darkness. Lord, that there would be just people that can do that. Help us to know how we can help with that as well. But let your kingdom come and your will be done.
Yes. Father God, we pray for students who come from countries where the gospel is, where there's a barrier for the gospel breaking through. We pray that when they come out of those countries and go and either study or explore, that they would be blessed by hearing and encountering your good news, that you would change and transform their lives, that you would fill them with your spirit and equip them to go back to their home nations, to share the good news. We pray that you would protect them, that you would lead them, and that you would guide them, and that through that, walls and barriers would be dismantled, that hope and joy and truth would be set free, and that it would all be for your praise and for your glory, Lord.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Great. Great. I wonder what ways God might open up to us. Somehow invest in that. Okay, let me do just wrap up. I've gone extremes, okay, but just wrap up really quickly. I'm not going to do all the stuff I've got on this, but to wrap up, bringing that right home. So I said there's what's to hand. There's what's at arm's length, there's what's beyond, and there's what's extreme beyond. 1040 window is what I mean by that, for the nations. Okay? So I've done 1040 window, and I've ended up talking about that most of the time this morning. That's cool. So let me just land it all the way back in what's to hand very quickly, which means flipping through lots of slides. Hold on, it might be okay. I'm going to do this another time because it's really interesting. Right, get in there. Oh, good. You're pleased that we're going to have it. But it's really interesting.
I like your options. You can do that as well. Yeah?
Well, you know what I'm like. I have options.
I can't quite read that.
Yeah. Okay. And we're back. For the spiral. Back in the room. We have a plan for what's to hand. We have a plan. We've talked about lots of things, about how to work with people who we encounter in that every minute of every day. And I just want to finish by landing it right back home as to what we do and what we talked about that way. Here is the plan. Pray for 5 people. That is part of the plan, to pray for people who are to hand, or maybe slightly at arm's reach, depending on who you're praying for. In fact, there's a little phrase which tied into that research that I just skipped over, and it's a phrase, and one day I'll explain it. That's a teaser for you. If you go to talkingjesus.org, you'll see it. But anyway, pray for 5, reach 1 is their little ditty, and it fits quite well with our praying for 5, which is, I have an expectation of the people that you're praying for, that one of them, God actually wants to bring right through to salvation. Pray for 5, reach 1. Pray for blessing and be a blessing. That means that we, in our hopes, we pray blessing on an area and we pray blessing on people, don't we? But actually, which is brilliant, that's part of the strategy. The other half of the strategy is that we embody that blessing for other people. And whether that means taking their bins out in the morning, whether it means delivering flowers across East Field, that's what it means to go with what's at hand. Amber made an interesting point about the flowers thing, didn't you, on the other day when we were talking? What was it, that one of your friends had spoken to someone else?
Well, she saw it on the internet, I think, somewhere, that someone had put a comment about how they found the flowers and how, you know, it's just really nice. I assume it was from East Field, and, you just don't know who...
I don't know what those flowers best people, do we? It's from there, from a third party, probably on Facebook, or someone said, I found flowers on my doorstep, that made me smile today. Or whatever they said. Maybe innocuous as that. It's great, isn't it? We don't know the impact of all that. We've just been a blessing. And that's what we're called to do. Pray for blessing. Be a blessing.
seek out people of peace. Who are those people that actually the gospel lands with that goes into a whole new area that we don't know? And encountering them with Jesus. And we talked about encountering Jesus, didn't we? Quite a lot last year. Which means praying for them, maybe praying for them, telling them we're praying, and that, remember Amber's story about praying for a situation and a friend knowing about it, praying for healing, and letting them know the good news of Jesus. So that's the reaching and including. Now, I'm not going to cover up that, but actually we're inviting, like Jesus invited lost people to be with him. Actually, we are to include people as well, aren't we? And we've done events that mean that we include people in the past. Probably we haven't done them so much recently, have we?
Yeah.
We haven't done those kind of easy social events to invite people in. I think maybe it's time to rethink that. What does it mean to include people into our lives and into our corporate life and creating arenas that where that's a really natural thing to do? Reaching and including. What's to hand? What's extreme beyond the 10:40 window? All captured in a spiral. I'm just going to put Amber's prophetic word up there. I'm not going to talk about it, but I am going to pray. Because I think God wants us to be fruitful, and our reaching out is fruitful. And so I want to speak these words over us as we finish right now. It's Isaiah 54, verses 1, 2, and 3. I just want to, as I read this, I want to you to receive it into your life as a prophetic statement for you and for us as we think about what it means to be disciples who reach out in these four areas. Sing, O barren woman, you who never bore a child. Burst into song, shout for joy for you who were never in labour. Because more are the people of the desolate woman than of her who has a husband, says the Lord. Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes. For you will spread out to the right and to the left. Your descendants will dispossess nations and settle in their desolate cities. God calls us to stretch out, to reach out, to stretch because he is making us fruitful. Even as the gospel is fruitful across the whole world, he wants it to be fruitful amongst us. And he's calling us, I believe, to stretch out, to reach out, to open out. Maybe we feel barren. Maybe we feel like it's a barren land. But I feel like God wants to say this morning that barrenness is not a problem to him. Because fruitfulness comes from him. I'm going to read it again. Sing, O barren woman, you who never bore a child. Burst into song, shout for joy, you who were never in labour. Because more are the children of the desolate woman than of her who has a husband, says the Lord. Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes. For you will spread out to the right and to the left. Your descendants will dispossess nations and settle in their desolate cities. We thank you, Lord. We enlarge. Mm-hmm. We enlarge. Would you just stand with me and pray with me about this? Lord, we thank you that your arms spread wide enough to encompass the whole world.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you. You are big. You are big. Your arms are wide. And I thank you that you bless us with fruitfulness as we carry your gospel, Lord. I pray for your blessing upon us, Lord. Lord, I break in the name of Jesus the curse of barrenness. And I release upon us the blessing of fruitfulness. God, would you cause us not to be those who hold back, but those who stretch out, those who reach out, those who extend our tent lines. Get rooted into you because of what you are doing with your people. We ask you, Lord, for the blessing and the release
of your gospel fruitfulness in our lives. In Jesus' name. I pray for those who we're praying for and who we meet, those who are to hand. And I pray, Lord, that there would be an overflow of the power of the gospel from our lives into theirs. Lord, that they would know something of you because of their encounter with us. Mm. Give us boldness, Lord. Give us strength. To live out, to reach out to those who are at hand. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.